Back here for another show, boys. Season 2, Episode 9. Welcome to Stealing Mavs, Mavs Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're located at Quincy Point at the Mavs Music Radio headquarters. A lot of stuff to go down tonight, but the first thing I want to put out there is the NFL season, which starts in September 10th.
7 days, 1 week.
Yeah, we're starting an NFL survivor pool, which you take a team each week. You can't pick the same team twice. And if you lose, you're out. I think there's going to be a big cash prize. Thought I'd get that out on the woodwork there right away and keep it going. But tonight, we'll be joined by MassLive.com Red Sox reporter Chris Smith to discuss his journey in the sports media world around with how bad the Boston Red Sox suck right now and kind of the future plans of the team. Afterwards, we'll have our takes on how the Boston Celtics are quickly becoming the top team in Beantown after putting on a clinic in the bubble down in Orlando, sweeping in four games and then taking care of business against Toronto right now. I believe they're up 2-0, guys, right?
And they're on TV right next to us.
Looking good.
Canada.
Yeah. Also, the Bruins ended their season on Monday night, which sucks, falling in double overtime to the Tampa Bay Lightning and dropping the best 7 series 4-1. We'll have our takes on the season. And, you know, positive news today, the future of captains of Daniel Chara, Mullen retirement. We'll give you a little tidbit on that. We'll also have some Patriots talk as Cam Newton named starter of the New England Patriots today. They're supposed to have their first regular season game at home against Miami Dolphins in less than 10 days. We'll have our takes on that. Lastly, we'll have some chatter on Francis Frank the Tank Hogan's pro boxing match, second one over the weekend, which he dominated. Big shout out to a friend who publicly went past neutral this past week. And, you know, our usual segments of Steel Salute and My Bonehead of the Week. So our interview here, really in depth about the Boston Red Sox. You know, Chris Smith, Weymouth native, really talked about what it kind of took to get to the level he's at now. You know, it wasn't easy. It wasn't handed to him. What do you guys think of the interview, guys?
Very good. Very good. Hard worker. Went through the steps.
Yeah, I mean, he's a baseball guy through and through. You could just...
Big Tarantino guy, too, huh? Yeah.
As everyone should be. As everyone should be.
All right, and there it is. MassLive.com, Red Sox beat reporter Chris Smith. Smitty. And folks, we're here with MassLive.com Red Sox reporter Chris Smith. Can I call you Smitty? Is that kind of...
You can call me anything you want. How about that?
Oh, there, man, we go. There we go.
Don't tell me with a good time. Yeah.
I had a lot of nicknames as a kid growing up. So yeah, but Smitty's good.
Good start. Right. So I'll get right to the swing of things. So I mean, I've been through kind of in the early stages at like newspapers and TV stations like that. What kind of gave you the edge to be like, I want to do this, get in the sports media industry, which is really tough to get into?
Yeah, well, as you guys said, you're located in Quincy. I actually grew up in Weymouth.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Yes. Small world, huh?
Yeah, so me and Charlie Coyle.
Of course.
That's great.
Except he's a little younger than me. I'm an old man with a wife and kid. So, I grew up reading the Patriot Ledger. And, you know, reading Mike Fine, and I remember him giving, you know, report cards for Red Sox players. And he always gave a terrible grade to my favorite player back in the day, Tony Pena, the catcher Tony Pena.
Oh, yeah. You know, we had Loftus on a couple a month ago or something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, so I read him too. And so, I grew up reading that newspaper specifically, but you know, I was always a good writer. That was really the only thing I was good at school. And I spent most of my time, you know, throwing a ball off the chimney at my house. Playing, you know, a baseball off the chimney, or, you know, a tennis ball into a baseball glove.
Yeah.
So I was just a baseball fanatic growing up. It was my favorite sport. And I was like a 162 game guy. You know, we would go to, you know, family parties, and I would sneak out to the car and listen to the game on the radio.
That's what it's all about.
Naturally. Yeah, well, you don't want to sit there.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd take my dad's keys and go out and, you know, listen to the game. And so my mother used to always say to me, what are you going to do when you have kids and, you know, you won't go to this party with them or this? And I'm like, you know, and So that's how bad it was.
Yeah, like, oh, you know me too well.
I mean, she was really concerned about me. Yeah, so I remember my mother actually sent me a journal or a autobiography that I wrote in the fourth grade. It said that I wanted to be a professional baseball player, and after that I wanted to become a sports writer, which is a major decrease in pay.
I mean, baseball player followed by like a writer. I mean, that's big time stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, and so I guess since the fourth grade, I wanted to do this, and I always had Syracuse has always been a big journalism school, and you know, the Newhouse School of Public Communications and
Orangeman. Yep.
Yeah. And I grew up, you know, I have family that my grandmother's from Syracuse, and you know, I have an uncle that lives in Syracuse, and I have cousins that live in Syracuse. So we used to go up to Syracuse every summer, and you know, and that was the big school up there. And so that's kind of how, you know, I mean, you know, obviously I love the sports teams, the Syracuse basketball team and the football team, but you know, they always talked about the Newhouse School there, so I always dreamed about going there. And so I went there, and to make a long story short, I worked at the Post Standard at Syracuse for a little bit, just as an intern, and it was a bad time in the history of papers. It was 2007, and everybody was getting laid off at that point, and people were decreasing staffs instead of increasing staffs.
Oh, yeah.
And the focus right now on that Syracuse paper is their website, and they've actually hired a lot of people since. But at the time, they weren't really hiring, and so although some people wanted me to stay there, and I would have loved to have stayed there and covered the basketball team because the basketball writer at that point had gone to ESPN.
Oh yeah, you might as well be covering NBA at that point. I mean, Syracuse, at least I bet in those days was top notch action, Big East, you know.
Yeah. And so a Syracuse student who graduated the year before me, you know, called one of the guys at the Post Standard. He said, do you have any recommendations? I'm at a paper in Missouri, and I need a high school reporter to report on, I don't know, I think it was like 22 schools. So I started my time out there. I mean, I was 22. I packed, or 23, I packed everything in the car and didn't even have a place to live, you know, going down to Missouri. I just packed everything. You know, stayed in a hotel for a week and found a place, you know, the first week while I was in a hotel, you know, apartment. So I began that. I was the only guy that was doing, you know, high school sports. So, you know, it all sounds like, you know, glorious when you're in fourth grade and you're writing about, like, how you want to cover the Red Sox someday. But
yeah, it's a really tough grind, though, huh?
You put your big boy pants on. You're in a hotel in Missouri, and it's like, oh.
It was something that I didn't think was, like, it was out of the realm of possibilities. At one point, I didn't even think about covering the Red Sox. You know, when I was in Missouri, I thought I was going to be a high school sports writer for the rest of my life, and just a few things worked out.
It shows kind of how crazy, like back in the day, that you know, a Weymouth kid's asked to go cover high school sports in Missouri, where today, you know, you look for somebody and you have 75, you know, people willing to do that. I feel like,
I mean, there was that back then too, but like, you know, it just so happened that, like, I applied for, you know, jobs all over. I mean, I applied for the Alabama football beat job, and I remember them emailing me back, and they're like, "Oh, we really like your clips from, you know, Syracuse, but they're like, we need somebody with experience on a pro or
beat." That's always what making the step from the high school beat to like the professional beat is really tough, because if you're a high school beat reporter for like, I don't know, 5-7 years, like you still have no pro experience, and you know, a lot of places like that aren't going to take you.
Yeah, especially Bama. Yeah, they're looking for like the cream of the, you're basically an NFL guy at that point.
Yeah, so I came back. I from Missouri. I was like, you know, I kind of missed my family and missed, you know, being around here. So after 2 years, you know, I gave them like, you know, 2 months notice. I was like, at the end of this high school season, I'm just going to head back. And I headed back without a job. And I thought about, I started practicing the drums like 8 hours a day. I was a drummer growing up.
Nice.
And I was like, you know, maybe I'll start a band. You know, there's all these possibilities. And all of a sudden, you know, one day I'm just like on journalismjobs.com or something. I saw, you know, a general sports reporter job at the Eagle Tribune. and that was in 2010. And,
oh, wow.
You know, I applied for that and got it. And basically what, you know, the job was at there was, you know, high school sports, pro sports, college sports, anything, you know, and, but I ended up, you know, they ended up sending me to opening day. Actually, that was 2009 when I got the job. They sent me to opening day 2010, Red Sox against the Yankees, CC Sabathia against, Josh Beckett.
Oh, wow.
It was on
ace
Easter.
Ace. Yeah.
It was on Easter, you know, first opening day that year on Easter. It was
probably
Sunday
like
night
45 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is that I got really sick that day before I went. And, you know, I was going to my family's house in Weymouth. I was living in Medford at the time, and I was going to my family's house in Weymouth to go to Easter dinner. And I actually threw up in the car on the way.
Wow.
And I couldn't pull over because I was stuck in the middle of the lane. There was a bunch of traffic. So my father cleaned out the console in the middle of the car and sent me to Fenway Park, and I had a miserable time. Sick
yeah,
as
out
a dog.
In the cold, like, God damn it.
It sounds like an 8 mile scene.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying, I said to my boss after that, I'm like, you know, I really don't have any aspiration for the Red Sox. I'm fine with high school sports. And he sent me back in there one more time when I wasn't sick about a week later. Yeah. And it's been like ever since. It's been like, you know, I had to, you know, throughout that job, I had to go to Fenway. And now this job, obviously, the only thing I do is go to Fenway. And so, yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, that's from what, like, I've seen in my own, like, path, that's an unbelievable story, because a lot of these people covering high school sports and people who think they're out of the race, man, all it takes is one person to take a chance on you, and, you know, you can really thrive from that.
Yeah, and, you know, there's so many good reporters covering high school sports, and, you know, so I don't take the opportunity for granted, because, you know, I did that for so long, and there's a lot of guys, like even my, you know, co-beat writer, you know, he came right from college onto the beat. He didn't do high school sports, and, you know, he deserves that. I mean, Chris was breaking stories when he was in high school, so, I mean, that's great, and he deserves that, but there's a lot of, but, you know, covering games, high school football games on a Friday night, you know, in the freezing cold with the rain dripping down on you and trying to keep the stats and everything, it really prepares you to, you know, do anything in sports journalism.
Yeah, and be on your game.
Yeah.
So I'll get right into the dive of the current 2020 Red Sox. I mean, obviously you had no pitching coming this season. It's going to be a shortened season. What were your initial, like, expectations this season going in? It couldn't have been good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they would have a chance to make the playoffs, like, because the you know, because
eight
of the
teams.
Expanded field.
Yep.
Yeah, because of the expanded field, I thought, well, yeah, they may have a chance to make the playoffs. You know, but, I mean, you know, and I look at it like, and so I never thought, like, and you know, going into spring training originally, I thought they'd have a, you know, pretty decent team, because Chris Sale at that point was, you know, was still healthy. But, you know, when Chris Sale was not healthy during the summer training camp and he had already had Tommy John surgery, I remember doing a review on one podcast, and I said, you know, they could be about a, they probably won't be a 500 team. They'll be near a 500 team, and they'll you know, make a run at the postseason. Because, you know, I mean, when you looked at it, they still had, you know, Erod at that point, and they still had a great offense. But, you know, the season's been a disaster, and I was totally wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, no, obviously with the bullpen, they're throwing guys who you don't even know their names anymore. And really, they have a great lineup. Like, I mean, you've had guys like Alex Verdugo who've really exceed expectations. I mean, the guy was a stud from the Dodgers, but no one really knew about him. They just knew he was the guy that was traded
yeah,
for
he's not
the MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, what's your take on their trade deadline moves? I know they moved Mitch Moreland, who's probably been one of their best hitters this year, but they still have guys, I mean, Verdugo, Vasquez, Devers, Bogarts, and I saw today J.D. Martinez say it's not a good year to opt out or go in free agency. I saw that. So it's they still have a good lineup. They just need to get pitching around this.
Yeah, I was actually the one that asked him that. Basically, I phrased the question to him. I said something like, you know, I said George Springer's having a bad year, And so, you know, I mean, how is a GM going to, you know, how is a GM going to determine, you know, his value, you know, in a contract year here, you know, going into, you know, with him being free agent and hitting below 200 right now, which average doesn't matter, but when you have a 700 OPS and you're hitting 200, it just does matter. So anyway.
Oh, yeah, he's having a one, yeah.
Yeah, so I said that to him, and he said, yeah, I wouldn't want to be a free agent at this time. And then some other reporter followed up with, well, is that an indication on what you want to do? And, you know, you're not going to become a free agent now. And he said, negative. That's not an indication. So he still could. Scott Boras is his agent, and he'll do whatever Scott Boras tells him to do.
Yeah, as they all do.
But I think it is a strong indication, though. I think it is a strong indication that, you know, he probably will stay with Boston. And a guy that's had a bad year, you know, he's coming in today, I think, with his OPS is about 264 points. I think I just wrote it. It's like 264 points below his OPS in the time as a Red Sox player. So, you know, he's going to come into next year extremely motivated, you know, to play well, to hit well, to figure everything out. And so they still have a good core. You know, they have Xander Bogaerts. They have Devers. Devers didn't start off well. He's been amazing of recently. I mean, he's hitting for the absolute, you know, the actual power that he hits for and his ability. And, you know, I look at it and I'm like, well, you know, the real issue this year, I mean, yeah, of course the offense hasn't been as good as it was supposed to be. But the real issue has been the pitching. And you're going to get Eduardo Rodriguez back opening day next year. I mean, he should be back opening day next year. I don't see how his heart issue lingers, you know, is a problem. It's supposed to be a temporary thing.
And I'm sorry, but here's my counter. Yeah. Here's my counter for that. So I kind of blame the hitting on the pitching in general. Just, I don't know, I played baseball, like high school and college game. And when your team stinks, there's not really a lot of motivation to go out there and do well. Would you say that has anything to do with these hitters not hitting as well?
Yeah, that and also if the Red Sox were being outscored a tremendous amount first through third innings.
Oh, yeah.
When you see Austin Price in the seventh inning, you know, for the 17th straight time, you're not happy. I mean.
So when you get down by so many runs and you keep hitting down every day, it's not easy to hit from when you're behind. It's easier to hit from when you're, you know, tied or ahead. So, you know, I mean, it does have it, but, you know, that has affected the offense. And, you know, but the pitching, I mean, you look at Eduardo Rodriguez back next year. Chris Sale will be back at some point next year from the Tommy John surgery, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, halfway through the first half at the All-Star break, whatever. So you've got those two pitchers back. You've got Martin Perez, who's had a pretty good year.
He's been one of the people who've blossomed. I think every time he's been on the mound, it's at least been exciting until the bullpen comes in.
And he looks better as a third, fourth starter than he does a, you know, a one or two.
Okay, oh, yeah, you can't put the pressure on him. Yeah, yeah.
The same thing goes for Eovaldi. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a better 4-5 starter than he is an ace, which he's been asked to be this year. You know, he's not the ace of a team. He's a number four starter at this point. So
I also, you know, think it too, if they were deep in starting pitching, like I think he'd be up for the closer role.
There's definitely, you know, there's definitely potential in that, you know, going down the line with this contract. But, you know, I think that they add another pitcher in the offseason. One interesting name to look for is Jake Odorizzi, who was with Loom, in Tampa Bay for a long time.
Yep.
And, you know, he hasn't had a great three starts this year. I think he got hit by a line drive. He hasn't been there since then.
Smoke, yeah.
And, you know, and then another guy to look at is, you know, Trevor Bauer.
I was thinking I'm thinking the same thing. Yeah.
You know, and you know, so he would be so they're going to add a starting pitcher, no matter what. I mean, whether it's through trade or through free agency, they'll add and then they get, you know, Eduardo back, they get Sale back. So their pitching is going to be a lot better next year. Everybody always says, is this a 2 to 3, 3 to 4 year rebuild? Well, no. I look at it as, you know, you would have said the same thing in 2012 ahead of the 2013 season, you know, when they finished in last place that year. When you're in Boston, you should be able to put a competitive team out on the field every year.
Now, question kind of on roster building and Bloom, and you know, with coming back from you come in with this Rays background, like their farm system got absolutely destroyed by Dombrowski. Like, you can't really make a move for a big name, you know. Even just, you know, just grabbing a number three starter in order to raise, if you were to trade for him, just hypothetically, like, how do you see them building a roster other than signing free agents? Because, like, they're, you know,
there's just not
the all map. They have is hitters, I feel like, at the top of their lineup. I mean, their pitchers are, what, Brian Mata and Hawk and Noah Song, who's, I think, in the Navy.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, like, you know, their actual prospects aren't as bad as everybody thinks. I mean, I like Tristan Casas a lot. Oh, yeah. Casas a lot. You know, and he's, you know, he's been at the alternate side at you know, at Pawtucket, and he's been hitting for power. They have, you know, some start. I mean, Song is good. Now, whether he'll be back in, you know, next year, probably won't, but the next year after that. So that's a letdown right there. But they do have some starting pitching prospects with Ryan Mata, Jay Groom, who, you know, was a 12th overall pick in the 2016 draft, and we can't really forget about him. And so they have guys, you know, that are interesting arms as pitchers. You know, where it goes from there, you know, Tanner Howe. So they have some interesting position players. I mean, Jeter Downs is obviously, you know, a big name in their system now after, you know, being traded at the Mookie Betts trade. So they do have prospects. They may not have the best system, obviously, in the world, but they do have, you know, three guys that are top 100 prospects in Major League Baseball. And, you know, I don't read into that top 100 prospects anyway all that much, because at one point Henry Owens and Blake Swire are the top 100.
Henry Owens, wow.
I mean, it seems to me like the bats in their farm system are, like, even just trading, you know, Moreland for getting, what's his name, their Potts back. It's just kind of a bunch of mashers, not really, like, you know, the corner infielders. I guess Jeter Downs will eventually move to second, it seems, and they're just hitters, and kind of that's their strengths. I don't see much else in the farm in terms of the bats. Do you agree? Or?
Well, I was saying that to my co-writer Cotillo the other day. I was like, well, they, you know, Dolbet are saying that Potts reminds me. Potts reminds me of. You know, of Blaze Jordan, who they just drafted, who reminds me of Dahlbeck, who's, you know, all power and strikes out a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, Dahlbeck does have a good sense of the strike zone and everything, but he is, you know, he is a guy that hits for a bunch of power, and, you know, he does strike out a lot. So, there are other guys like, you know, Jeter Downs. I think Gilberto Jimenez is an interesting center fielder. That they have. Jaron Duran, I think, is going to be a really good everyday player. And if you had asked me that last year, I would have said probably not. But this guy came in to summer training camp ripped. I mean, he looks like, you know, he could play linebacker for the Patriots or safety for the Patriots.
Need a linebacker, yeah.
Yeah, that could work as well.
I mean, he looks really good. And all of a sudden, you know, not in addition to, you know, being a triples and doubles guy, which he is because of his speed, he could, you know, make a single into a double or a double into a triple any day. He's adding power. He has 5 home runs down at Pawtucket. He's changed his swing completely. So he's actually a very exciting player that, you know, and I think they're going to keep all these guys. So making a trade, you know, it is difficult to get a young starter, because you don't want to trade any. You don't want to trade any of the guys they have in your system that are good right now.
Yeah, sometimes the best thing to do is do nothing. Yeah,
but you could also look at it, and you could take on money and, you know, exchange lesser prospects too. So what I'm saying, like, you know, they had always, you know, talked. They were talking to the San Diego Padres about Mookie Betts before they traded to the Dodgers. And they were talking about taking Will Myers' contract. And when you get Will Myers' contract, you know, the San Diego Padres love to get rid of that contract. You take on that contract and you get a better prospects because of it. With the economy the way it is, and you know, because of coronavirus, not just in baseball, but everywhere. But specifically in baseball, with revenues being down, people are probably going to try to shed payroll this offseason. The Red Sox are in a position to take some bad contracts if it leads to getting good players as well, like with those bad, you know what I mean, with that bad player.
Yeah.
If they can get a good player with them and they take on that money, that's a way of doing it. So there's definitely talent in the system, even though they're not ranked, you know, number one like the Tampa Bay Rays or two like the Dodgers. But there is talent in the system, and they're increasing it. You know, they claimed a guy off waivers today, a catcher that's 24, that has some power. So you can see that Groom's building the system, and the system looks a lot better than it did last year at this time, following the Mookie Betts trade and the four other trades they made. But we'll see. You know, I mean, it's gonna be a process, and it's gonna have to be developing from within, and also, you know, picking and choosing the right free agents.
Switching gears to kind of looking at the MLB, like in an overview, what would you say if you were to pick one, the best story in baseball this season? I know there's Slam Diego, the Rays are really hot, and you know what? The Chicago White Sox are playing good baseball too.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah, that's a good. I think that probably the most exciting story in baseball is, you know, for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Oh, yeah. Slam Diego, baby.
Yeah, Slam Diego. Donner Cillo.
Yeah, Donovan Cillo. Nailed it.
That just makes it that
he
like,
could be doing games for a 12-25 team, or whatever the Red Sox are. 12-25, 12-26. Instead, he's in Slam Diego.
He could do it for a Little League team.
It would be electric. Yeah, it would be electric.
You know, so he's having a great time. So, yeah, that's a good story right there. I think the amount of, while I say there's guys that are heading to free agency that are having awful years, like, you know, George Springer and certain guys, and even if J.D. Martinez was to opt out, there's so many guys that are having, like, off the chart. You know, so if you were to do the NL MVP voting, it would be just really difficult to pick an NL MVP right now, because there's bats, there's, you know, Charlie Blackman, there's Fernando Tatis Jr.
The Red Sox just put Marcelo Ozuna in the conversation. Yeah,
exactly. Right?
That was like 1,300 feet of home runs in one night.
Yeah, that ball hasn't landed
Fun
yet.
Fun fact, I have him. I bet him to most home runs this season at 100-1.
So I think that's a good story. It's like, you know, the amount of talented players. I think that the you know, the postseason is going to be fun, because, you know, you've got teams like Tampa Bay that's going to – I think they're really going to make a run at the World Series. You know?
Gosh, they got like the pitching. Tampa Bay. That's what you need.
And so I think that's been cool. And, you know, there's some guys that have come up, you know, like –
Well, you know what, too? Like, the playoffs in baseball, like, have been – outside of last year, have been so, like, kind of, I would say, somewhat boring, because the favorites have always kind of won. Like, the Red Sox, that was their year. Houston, that was their year. And, mm-hmm. and then last year, I mean – Nationals flipped the script just because they had deep pitching.
Yeah.
And now you go into this year and it's anyone's game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scared of everybody.
And I think the other cool thing too this year has been, like, you know, some young pitchers, like, you know, May have come up and they're like throwing like 99 mile per hour.
Yeah.
That goes like across the plate. Yeah. The
you know, there's another guy that just pitched for the Marlins yesterday. I mean, I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, but yeah, I mean, he's here 99 mile per hour.
Sixto Sanchez.
Yes. There you go.
Oh boy.
What an unbelievable name.
I don't know how I forgot that.
Sixto Sanchez.
Out of those, you know, those top pitcher prospects, you know, like Whitley and Nate Pearson and, you know, Mackenzie Gore, do you look into them beyond the Red Sox, and do you have, like, you know, a favorite who's, you know, literally the next, you know, Clayton Kershaw through, you know, over 10 years?
Ooh, that's a good question. I have to think about that one. But let's go to another question. Let me think about that one.
Yeah, exactly. So who do you think is going to be the manager of the Red Sox next year? Let me put it that way.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. So, you know, Sam Fold is a kid. I don't think it will be Ron Renneke.
No, I think Renneke,
you know, he's done.
He did his Bobby Valentine.
Yeah.
No, good.
It hasn't been his fault, though.
Yeah, like, yeah. Seems like a good guy. I don't mean to completely.
The roster isn't
hate
good.
The guy.
I mean,
yeah. Hate the guy.
I mean, he hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't done anything special. That's what I feel like. And you know, and the roster's just, he was set up to not win. You know, he was set up to a lose situation. So But I think that a couple of names to look out for is, you know, Carlos Pena, who's from Haverhill, Mass. And, ooh, you know, he was with
Northeastern,
yeah, and he was with, you know, Bloom in Tampa Bay. And he's got that personality.
It's a good tie. I like that.
Yeah, he's got that personality that is kind of like, you know, Alex Cora's, and, you know, confident and really knows the game well. And so he's a candidate. Sam Fold, who is, you know, he's a New Hampshire guy who is with
the Rays.
With Bloom. Yep, with Bloom there. And he's a guy that went to Stanford, so he's really smart. And, you know, you look at Bloom, and he's a Yale guy, and, you know, he's really into the numbers. And Sam Fold is that type of guy. And another guy that's that type of guy is a guy that went to Yale, the same school as Boot, is Craig Breslow.
Ooh, Breslow, the lefty killer.
Yeah. And so, but I think there will also be other guys that, like Eduardo Perez, you know, with ESPN.
Give me a good name, like a Rod Gardner or a...
There's not going to be any of those.
No. My question, obviously, the fan favorite is for Alex Cora to return. What percentage would you say he returns? It's got to be low, right?
Yeah, well, I've heard he wants to do other things. I heard that it's not like he wants to just come back. I mean, would you? I mean, you know, I mean, the team essentially fired him. You know, they say parted ways, but it was fired him. And, you know, I mean, why would he want to come back? And also, you know, when you look at it, yes, he was the right manager. He was a very good manager for this team. He connected with all the players well. Eduardo Rodriguez, you know.
All the blocks, you know, were in
Xander
place.
Xander Bogaerts, yeah. Raphael Devers, all the guys. He really connected with them.
Yeah.
Got all those guys to another level. However, so you could, you know, say Bloom sees that. However, you know, when you haven't, he was never Bloom's guy. You know, he was the manager that Bloom was getting. And usually when you have a new GM or chief baseball officer, president of baseball operations come in, he chooses his own manager. And so this allows, you know, him to get that opportunity to choose his own guy. Now, I would still say there's a little bit, maybe a 2-3% chance that Cora comes back, but I really don't think he's going to. I think that that Bloom is pretty much set. Like, you know, he's going to take his guy. He's going to choose his guy. I wouldn't be surprised if it was somebody like Cora, because, you know, the bilingual thing is really obviously a help during these, you know, during baseball nowadays, because, you know, there's, you know, a lot of Spanish speaking players. So I could see somebody very much like Cora coming in, or I could see one of those guys like, you know, Breslow or Sam Fold.
How about this name if I throw it at you? This is the last name I'll mention. A.J. Hinch.
Yeah, that's actually
– He's been on the bench. He wants to get back to a big market team.
That's actually a good thought. And, you know, I mean, he – I guess, you know, you listen to Joe Kelly and, you know, he really is pissed at what happened with, you know, Cora, because he feels like they really threw him under the bus there. That, you know, the players, if you knew more about what he said it the other day on a podcast. He's like, if you knew more about what the players actually did compared to Cora, you know, you'd be even more upset with the players than you are anyway. And so, you know, I look at it and, you know, Hinch was the one. You know, Hinch was the manager, but he wasn't even behind it, like, you know, in the report, as they say, Cora was. You know, he was really the guy that just let it go on. So, you know, I do see him managing again, and, you know, that actually could be a fit right there.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that since he got fired. I'm like, what team does he go to next, and who's going to need to coach? And then once I saw Alex Cora the next, like, 2-3 days, I'm like, are they just going to do a swap at some point, or what's going to happen? I know Alex Cora going to Houston's not, like, really realistic either. But I don't know, A.J. Hinch, that's the name to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason for that maybe not is just because, you know, he was let go in the same scandal that you just let go your former manager. I mean,
yeah,
that's it.
Swap,
I mean,
the cheaters, but, like, that's, you know, basically what you're saying.
And then the Sox scoop him up like a ground ball. That's a good one.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the only, I guess, negative thing or reason against it. But yeah, I actually like the idea.
Just a quick question for you, Chris. I gave you a follow on Twitter earlier. It's Magic Mike here. It says you're working on the best American novel ever written. I am curious. Is that like a joke, or well, do we have the best American novel being written right now by you?
Yeah. I am currently writing a novel. It's funny. In college, I took creative writing, and I took English as well. Like, you know, I was an English major, undergraduate, and I took journalism graduate. And my English teacher, one of my English professors taught me creative writing, said that they wanted me to apply for creative writing programs instead of journalism programs. So it was always something that was on my mind, and I did write some short stories when I was in Missouri and, you know, on time off there. But my job is so crazy, like, you know, you just get consumed in it during the season. And, you know, even in the off season too, it's so much transactions going on, and it's really non-stop. Hard to sit back and, you know, write a book. So, I mean, I have written a hockey book, but it got published, but I haven't written a, you know, fiction book. And so I sat down during the quarantine, and I did, you know, slam out about half the book so far. Nice. I haven't really talked to him. I have some ideas on some agents, some literary agents and things to go to, but I haven't even talked to them. I've just been writing, and it's very difficult because, you know, I do have a kid that's 1 year old, so I haven't, since the season started, I haven't been able to get back to any writing. Once the off season comes, I'm sure I'll finish it and then try to go from there. It's very difficult, though, to get fiction published. It's the hardest thing.
If it's fiction, if there's a character opportunity, you should definitely put Magic Mike in it.
I'd appreciate, yeah. Just make me. I'm just like a wild card kind of character. Anything you can, any weird situation, just throw magic in there.
Yeah, spend like a page on him. Not too much.
Smitty, but it's fun for me because I get to go. You know, like it allows me not to do sports. You know,
get out there, exactly. Expand.
And I'm the type of person that I like hardly. I like to watch. I love football. Football's, you know, probably my favorite sport to watch. And, you know, to play DraftKings, I play that, you know, type of stuff. And I love to watch sports, but when I'm not covering the Red Sox and I'm not, you know, doing my job, you know, I'm watching a regular movie by Quentin Tarantino or something instead of, you know, a sports documentary or a sports movie. So, you know, it's cool to get away from it. Not do sports.
What's all the favorite Tarantino flick?
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody loves Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs. I like his first one. Also, the one where what is it? The one with I can't think of the name of it. I'll think of it though. It's the one where it's his first one. It was before Reservoir Dogs.
Woody Harrelson's in it, but I don't know his name.
Brad Pitt's in it.
I had this conversation literally the other day, and I can't think of it.
It's a really good. It's funny because there's a. Have you seen the cocaine scene in it?
I'm not sure.
Getting pulled over. He's in a car. He's got cocaine on him, and he's getting pulled over, and basically it all ends up on his face.
Are you sure it's not Scarface?
It's not, but yeah, I'm gonna look it up right now, but keep talking.
Smitty, I want to thank you for joining the show, man. This was a great time, and best of luck with everything going forward.
All right, hey, best of luck with you guys.
And, hey, thank you, brother.
Thanks a lot, man. Have a good night.
Have a good one.
I want to thank Smitty for coming on. We finally found out what that movie he was talking about called True Romance.
A great flick.
Yeah, I want to give a big shout out for him to coming on. MassLive.com, very respectable site.
Very good. Yeah,
good talk to him.
Yeah, insightful. A lot of prospect talk. Love it.
Maybe I should have watched some Sox games this season, but
no,
also,
you
maybe
shouldn't.
I should. Yeah, I mean,
you asked
I
about
know.
The book though, which was
I asked
was
him about
deal.
His book, and
I know you want to be in it too.
Yeah, I'll probably get it published for him. I don't
Hopefully,
know,
he doesn't
somehow.
Like George R. R. Martin. It, you know,
maybe
takes
he needs
too
an
long.
Agent. You know?
Yeah, you might need an agent, someone to connect the dots. Mm-hmm. I'm your guy,
Mass Music Management, baby.
So I'm currently in a fantasy football draft right now on my phone. So we're going to keep this ship rolling momentarily. We're going to go from the diamond onto the b-ball court here. So the Celtics, they've really just been whooping everyone recently. Four-game sweep. Why am I forgetting who they played?
The 76ers.
As you said, they couldn't beat.
Yeah.
You didn't say that, but you said you were worried
Embiid
about them.
Embiid was too good, yeah.
I was worried. And then
I'm going to keep harping on that. I'm sorry.
They deserve it.
There was nothing to worry about there.
What do you think Al Horford's doing right now? Because that guy definitely can't golf.
Knitting.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Yeah.
Celtics currently on. I'm going to have a hot take here, which I like doing all the time. So it's a 2-0 lead right now in present day. I'm sure this podcast will be out Saturday or whatever. I'm going to go out and say they're going to have a 3-0 lead, and they're going to be getting ready for the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, Gordon Hayward out. They've really had Marcus Smart step up. I mean, those 5 threes the other night, unbelievable. You know what you're going to get from – at this point, you know what you're going to get from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum every night. And whatever, Kemba Walker, who coming into the season might have been their biggest household name, he's taking a step back and really being a team player here.
Kemba pulling the UConn move on Serge Ibaka to ice a playoff game for the Celtics is absolute Celtics porn to me. That was amazing. Like, that has been my guy since UConn, and I loved it.
I mean, I think Marcus Smart hitting 5 threes in a row.
Oh, pure electricity.
He's now gonna, like, rip threes from half court.
That's like Drew hitting like,
He shoots ridiculous shots anyways. Now just like going to multiply. It got me a little worried.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
And then like I think some CBS like Twitter account was just like trying to compare it of like, oh, how much better is this team without Kyrie Irving? And I don't even want to mention that guy's name. It's ridiculous.
Read my blog on it. I put it in well.
Where's your blog?
That'll be interesting.
Now that we're talking about like things we hate with it, I'm very happy that like with the no fans thing, I don't have to look at Jurassic Park once in this series because, God, I hate Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, a good point. I'm surprised they're still not like out there partying right now or trying to get something going.
Imagine that too, though, because the Celtics would have been the away team, and obviously it would have been a different ball game playing in Toronto. But hypothetically, if they go up 2-0 and they're going home, this is a clean sweep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, like I said, my hot take, I still think they're going to be up 3-0 by the end of tonight. Tonight's Thursday. I just think they're too deep on defense. I mean, obviously, they haven't had too many guys contribute off the bench offensively, but I think their strength is defense. I mean, you got a guy like Semi Ojeleye who, you know, hasn't had any game on the offensive end.
I can't.
A shot a game where it's like, dude, stop, like, get that man off the court, like, immediately.
He's literally the guy in a pickup game who stands in the corner, gets the ball, and shoots a three and misses.
No,
and then
pass to him. Like, don't
he's
shoot
actually,
it.
But he is, when if we play the Bucks, he covers Giannis. So we will see a shitload of Semi, which sucks.
If we see the Bucks.
Yeah, that too. That too. The Heat scare me.
Have they started that series yet?
Yeah,
Bucks are down 2-0.
Yeah.
0-2.
What?
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler got fouled with 0 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
The real estate that Jimmy Butler owns in Giannis's head is crazy. Giannis is one of those players, he can't take it. You can see it.
Well, putting things into perspective, too, okay, let's just say the Celtics win and the Heat win. I think the Celtics are such a threat to the Heat. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm a fucking petrified of the Heat. Are you kidding me?
I respectfully disagree.
They line up really well with us, and Bam is really hard to stop for us. Did you see what he did in the bubble already?
I just think it's a similar team to the Celtics, and the Celtics play better team defense. I know you got a lot of scores. I think you had 7 guys in double digits, including Kelly the Clinic Olynyk last night. But at the end of the day, I just think we have more, what you say, like superstar power, especially if for some reason in the back end of the hypothetical series I'm talking about, Heat-Celtics, you somehow grab Gordon Hayward for the last 3 games.
Which is possible.
Like
I like the Celtics chances. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying the Heat scare me. Like, Jimmy Butler's a scary man.
Oh, and he's like talking shit and in his zone. He's
one of my favorite. Definitely top favorite player.
And like the Duncan Robinson, the he played for like a D3 school in New Hampshire or something. And then he went undrafted and now he's starting
there
for the
Heat. Yeah, exactly.
Also, the catch-22 you see in that too. The Milwaukee Bucks, like, yeah, Giannis, like, would take care of our bigs like Tice and Williams all day. But the guy I fear the most team is Chris Middleton. That guy kills himself.
That's it.
That sucks.
That game, I think I mentioned on a pod probably a couple months ago, that game where Terry Rozier hit like the game winner and then he sunk like a half quarter, which was going in. 0.3 seconds left where I'm like, how is that even possible? I think Celtics ended up winning overtime. That was like the Bucks before they were the Bucks, but that guy scares me, man.
Maybe more than anyone else left.
Yeah. And I think he still had like 21 points in the stat sheet last night, but that has like nothing to do with my fear. My fear is hitting those big shots, eventually being like 8-for-10 from like three, and just scaring the shit out of me because you want to put Marcus Smart everywhere, but you know, can he get everywhere? Can he get to the Middleton? Can he get the Bledsoe? That's a tougher series to me, in my opinion, than them playing the Heat.
It's a worse matchup, at least, I would say. I would say. I think the Heat are kind of like equal, almost, in a way. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same build. Whereas like the Bucks are just like their own thing.
Yeah, Giannis, I mean, I think we can... I wouldn't say favorites, but it wouldn't shock me to beat either team in like six games, five games.
No, it wouldn't.
No, that's the same. If the Bucks go away, the Celtics are no doubt favorites.
I still wonder if half these teams are even playing like full effort too.
They definitely are.
I wouldn't be surprised if Philly halfway through that series like, you know what?
Fuck Philly.
You could absolutely say that about the Celtics. I don't know about everyone else. You could say that about the Celtics.
The protest and corn and the bubble. People might be getting sick of it. I'm like, no one. If you don't respect this championship or this bullshit season, I could see them wrapping it up.
I just think it's a hot take because you see two games in the last two nights where people are leaving the game crying. I mean, you see the Jazz
versus the Mitchell left. Jazz,
I'm not saying every team.
They left it all on the court. I think they lost by two. And then you see last night, which, I mean, Chris Paul in game six, was one of the most heroic. And I'm not the biggest guy on Chris Paul in terms of him personally. But he was unbelievable game six. But what the hell was that last 30 seconds last night?
Last 30 minutes.
When James Harden jumped over the ball.
well, not even just that, but if you watched it like live.
Dort, what a god.
Yeah, what was it? Chris Paul like faked the flop. Obviously, the ref calls nothing. Chris Paul comes down the other end. James Harden does the flop. It just looked like, you know, if you're your typical hockey fan, you're like, why the hell am I watching this?
Yeah, I mean, those are... The Rockets are almost unwatchable. Like,
it's terrible. It's awful.
I love them like draining threes. Like I like that part of their game. Like that's what they shoot. And it's
but then they drive and it's awful.
It's like I don't know. I saw
something today which was pretty good. So I think it was Bleacher Report. They put out like Anthony Davis and the Lakers as like the Monstars, and then it was just like little PJ Tucker. And like Anthony Davis just like slammed on him, like little. I'm like, that's gonna like. I think the Lakers are gonna murder them. I think it's gonna be like a 5-game series.
Okay. Yeah, they'll steal one or two just on like pure offensive talent. But that's not. I don't think it'll be like.
Yeah, but transitioning into the West, I think it's a LA show conference finals.
Yeah,
no doubt.
I like that. I like, yeah, I mean, that's I just ideal. Wish
it was always meant to be.
I just
anyway.
Wish it was at the Staples Center because that would be must. I mean, it's still going to be must-watch TV. Kawhi versus LeBron James, you know, PG against Anthony Davis, even though kind of PG can kick rocks. But what I'm saying is the Nuggets, I don't think can contend, and I know Houston definitely can't contend because they think they can play small ball all year until they run into the big back man, which is AD, Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
fair enough. Fair enough.
That's our basketball talk tonight.
I do think it's probably going to be Celtics LA, which does suck as well.
Beat LA, brother. Beat LA.
No matter what LA it is.
Celtics of the balls.
Yeah.
That was a good one. So we're going to transition on now. So today's September 3rd. The NFL season kicks off September 10th. I think they open up September 13th at home against Miami. First of all, I want to give a big... Big. This guy deserves a Cam Newton named starting quarterback today and a captain. I just want to give. I gotta give it up to him. This guy deserves it. He's come in, fulfilled his role. I think
Nass is excited for football. That's
I'm excited, man. I'm really excited.
You should clap for football.
I'm clapping for Cam Newton. Everyone's sleeping on the Patriots. I saw Cam Newton was the 27th ranked. Oh, it's my turn. I'll do a second here.
Who are you picking? Pick Cam. Is Cam available? You should pick him.
Pick Cam.
Put your money where your mouth is. Grow up.
Wait, how'd you not pick Gardner?
I picked Tom Brady, sorry.
Wow.
How did you not pick Gardner in the first and get the free case of Bud Light? I might just make 17 fake Twitter accounts and just do a free league and just draft them and have them send 17 send fucking Bud Light cases to my house.
Tom Brady.
The story of Gardner Minshew continues to get better.
What did Gardner do now?
So if you draft Gardner Minshew in the first round of your fantasy draft and send him a screenshot, he'll send you a case of Bud Light.
Oh, that's I'm going to play fantasy for that.
It just gets better. Like, once again, Tyler Costa. It just gets better every play. Like,
Tyler Costa would do that. Yeah. He is Gardner Minshew. It's a parallel universe.
Anyone see the Bill Belichick Subway commercial? It's pretty good.
I missed it. No.
You missed it?
No, I haven't seen
Everyone
it.
I saw it. I still don't know what sub he's eating, though.
Yeah,
probably not Subway.
What is his pick? That's what I need to know.
The next one. Come on, he's eating the next sub. Come on, kid.
I want to walk into his Subway and be like, give me what fucking Belichick wants.
They're going to be like, he brought his own sub from offsite. It wasn't our shit.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hit him a lot for that.
It's a good commercial, though. He cuts off the guy's sleeves. He's like, now you're ready.
I am excited for football to come back.
How do we think the Patriots are going to do, though? I mean, I think they're going to take over the AFC East once again. And, you know, really run the table. I think
I got to at least see them play a couple games.
The schedule still scares me. Yeah, I'm a believer. I think we're going to be good, but they have a scary schedule. If we still had, like, Tom and shit, I'd be all in, but their schedule is tough.
Now, transitioning to Tom, just got Leonard Fournette last night.
I've been all in on the Bucs. They got me in.
Yeah, the Bucs are going to be for real.
NFC, let's go.
They're going to be for
real.
NFC.
I think Leonard Fournette sucks. I just don't think he's
big LSU guy.
I just think every guy who's played for the Jaguars in the last, like, 2-3 years, like, outside of Gardner Minshew, was just like, fuck this.
Yeah, Allen Robinson, there's all there.
DJ Shark is going to have a monster.
I saw some, like, Instagram video. This guy just had, like, 12 jerseys.
Oh, it goes all the way down.
Yeah. I'm like...
And they're all studs, too. It's like Jalen Ramsey. It's like absolute beast.
Jalen Ramsey.
Okay. Allen Robinson.
No, it's studs. Like, it's...
And Gokwe, he just signed with the Vikings. That's a scary defense.
It is.
Will Fuller's around. That's a big pick. I like that one.
Yuck.
So do you say the season starts on the 10th?
That's like the opening.
It's the Thursday night.
Kansas City versus Houston, and then they open up Sunday. Yeah. I'm thinking 10-6. I think 10-6 is the record. I went through the schedule the other day, and I think that's the record.
Okay, I like that. 10-6, maybe 9-7, but there, I agree.
Gonna get a wild card. I think the different playoffs this year, right? It's gonna be like the only the first place team gets a bye. And then it's going to be like 2-7.
I don't even know how.
Either way, I think they're going to get in the wild card and, you know, make some noise. I think that's really what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about them. I just want to see them play. But 13-3 if they're really good. If they suck, whatever.
Next week, they're going to run out of the fucking tunnel, though. And, like, it's just not going to be Tom Brady leading them.
Yeah, that's okay. I do like Cam. Cam as much. He's cool. If Cam can play at Tom's caliber and Bill can does.
There's a lot of gifs on Twitter of, like, Cam dabbing and then, like the earth explodes.
Love it.
Like, people light on. Like, those are going to be a big factor for me this year.
My hot
I'm going to retweet them all the
which
time.
Which not a lot of people are going to like this, is that Cam, like, at this point, Cam Newton is the better option in terms of fit for this offense. Because he's not throwing deep. All these guys are gonna play off his play action. It's gonna be Cam ball. They're gonna run the ball, they're gonna throw quick slants, things like that. When it comes down to 2 minutes, I agree with you. That's when you want Tom Brady.
You know where I'm gonna miss Tom most is like 3rd and 10 in that.
That'll be over the middle.
Right at the 10.
That's where we're gonna miss
him. I miss him so much. I'm sad.
No, it's coming. Like, the next week, it's there. Like, it's not Tom Brady. As much as we've known, like, it's there. Next week, it's gonna be gross.
I just think the Cam hype is real. I don't think you should sleep on
him. If he plays, that's the only
thing. I'm with you, Naz.
That's just the one thing about Cam. Like, if he plays, I'm all in. But, like,
what do you mean if he
Cam
plays?
Cam could get hurt in a minute.
Oh, if he could get hurt in a minute, okay.
I do not want that.
Like,
but, like,
he was named the starting quarterback today.
No shit, I get that part. But, like, he has
captain.
To stay healthy.
We clap for him.
He's got to play.
For him.
Like, he has
I
to
clap
be
for
there.
Him. None of you assholes.
I didn't. Here's your clap.
I slow clapped, I guess.
Speaking of assholes,
I dabbed for him.
We'll get into my bonehead of the week in the Bruins. So, Bruins lose 4-1. They're down 2-1 with a game they need. And who steps in on the third line? Nick Ritchie. That piece of shit.
Absolute bomb.
Drops his gloves. The other guy doesn't drop gloves. Gets 2 minutes. Dirty hit. 5 minute penalty. They score another goal. I mean, Halak led up, I think, a pretty much softy there. But that might have been the worst hockey game I've ever seen play. And I played for Tim Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's up there, man. It's up there. It was awful.
Like, I was a grinder. Like, I was not a good hockey player. I could skate. That's about it. This guy had played worse than me.
It was. I'm pretty sure the first period he had like more 5-on-5 time than Bergeron, which is like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, that guy is trash, and thankfully he'll never play for this team ever again. Correct. Like, Richie's done.
I hope he doesn't play the game of hockey ever again.
Yeah, for the sake of the sport, you know, just in general.
Yeah.
Like, we're all better off with that guy.
I hope he gets like 1 year with like the Providence Bruins because no one will take him. And then somehow he'll end up going to like Twin River every night, just develop a gambling problem. And
best case scenario, yeah.
You know, is that, he from here?
I'm kind of wishing.
Let's
hell
not make fun of gambling problems here.
Fair enough.
Oh, fuck it, we can make fun of that.
So the Bruins losing 4-1 to Tampa. I clearly just thought Tampa was in better position to win from the goaltending. It comes down to that. You lose a guy like Tuukka Rask, who I think is, if not one of their best goaltenders in Bruins history. You lose a guy like that. I realize Halak did the best he could.
Yeah,
but
a couple softies.
I will give him credit though. Game five was not his fault.
Not at all.
They gave everything they could. Vasilevskiy was on his head, beast. And you know what? That tip. I think Tampa should go all the way unless they choke.
Golden Knights, baby. Let's ride.
I mean, let's ride. Obviously, but I mean, if you're looking at there and you're
going to win tonight, and they're going to be fine. They're going to win that series. Game 7, I'm pretty sure, of Avs Stars, which should be an electric game, because that series has been crazy.
Yeah, I
think the Golden Knights will beat.
Tyler Seguin was talking way too soon. I think Colorado wins that Game 7.
We'll see. Because I don't think, like, most of those, like, I don't know. We'll just see.
I don't know, dude. Anton Khudobin and that in a Western Conference final series, like, I'm not buying that.
I couldn't. Yeah, no, probably not.
I wouldn't pay for that. It's not a pay-per-view, but I would pay for that.
Especially because you know McKinnon's coming flying.
Dude, he's so good.
He's unbelievable.
He's a thoroughbred.
I forget the other guy's name, but that goal last night with like the tick and tack talk.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was unbelievable.
I forget his name. Yeah,
yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That looked good. That looked good, Naz.
Yeah. No, it was. Yeah, Tim Lewis taught him that.
I didn't see that goal, but it looked sexy from the way Naz did right there.
It was.
Who? I mean, we kind of transitioned off from the Bruins, but. What's your salute, bro?
Saluting the god. We'll see. I talked today about really wanting to come back, but Zdeno Chara, very possibly his last game as a Bruin, and just an absolute pure legend. I mean, easily,
he's coming back, baby.
Easily the third best defenseman in Bruins history, and like 1 and 2 are Ray Bourque and Bobby Orr. So like,
good company.
That's pretty, yeah. Like to be up there with them is amazing. He has more point shares than Bobby Orr. There's like a few more years in there, but
I'm hearing this commotion though about like if. When he comes back, like put him on third line with Clifton, and like give the C to Bergeron. Like, what do you think about that?
I'm here for that.
Because
this C placement wouldn't change. Like, Chai would still be like
giving
them, but like they'd both just be helping the team. Like, it wouldn't matter. Those two guys don't care who's fucking.
No, you know what I mean.
So it doesn't matter.
That's why I don't think it'll get changed because no one gives a fuck.
Yeah, they don't care enough.
Someone made a point today, which I. The Kings did the same thing when like
Dustin Brown
wasn't
to Kopitar,
as good.
Yeah,
yeah, he switched his C with like Kopitar because Kopitar.
It could happen. Yeah,
on rail.
Shittier Bergeron.
I mean, Bergeron's been on the team since 2003. I mean, he more than deserves a C. I mean, I guess,
always has.
I guess you could just be like the Might A's, where like everyone has a C on their chest.
Fair. Krejci could be up there too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, there's definitely a lot of C's to be given up on that team.
Yeah, so I think they're gonna have to bounce back from this. I'm up next. But we'll keep this train going. So, me and Magic had a little voyage last Saturday night up in Derry, New Hampshire, where we saw, he's going to be a recurring guest. He's going to come back on. But former guest Frank the Tank Hogan, second professional boxing match, took care of this cupcake in about .108.
Yeah, that guy, I think I could have fucking beat that guy. I mean,
Is this the Magic Mike comeback toy?
Yeah.
It's just a start.
I think I would have fit in pretty well in that Derry, New Hampshire card, especially that guy.
You could not beat one fucking person.
I think I could have beat that. The dude sucked. I mean, Frank put him, maybe he was just so afraid of Frank that he was falling on purpose. I don't know if he was
falling. The guy had 57 losses.
Yeah, he sucks. He's like, he's basically like me if I just kept trying to force it.
Him? Isn't he kind of?
No, no. This is no like get at like he Frank dominated, but yeah, when you're early on. Like what you saw in that card was guys up and coming who are undefeated. So they pair when you're young in the game, they pair undefeated guys against guys who are just ready to take a punch. Who
yeah,
like
just trying to get a paycheck.
57 losses is a staggering.
Because once you get a bunch of these wins against the 15-0, you start getting like some heavy bouts. You know, you start getting these guys,
and it's just fucking corona.
And then again, Frank the Tank's 19 years old, and
Still going,
It's not just his strength. It's not just his punch, dude. It's his endurance.
His attitude. I think he could have beat anyone in his weight class in that ring that night. There were some good fighters there, but he looked on that level.
Anyone in his weight class there, he could have beat. Absolutely.
That other guy looks like a bum, and I do think maybe I get lucky. I don't fucking know. Maybe.
I don't think you beat anybody. I wasn't there.
I think you come close.
No.
I think he's like plus 500 versus
Anton, when you want to start boxing training, go fight a fucking match. I'm one no. Don't talk to me like that. I've had enough of you fucking.
Somebody get the jacket.
This guy comes
somebody
in here and says I can't win champs, a fight. He wasn't at the champs, fight.
Yeah. I've talked you up since day one, Magic. Don't you
champs,
put that
champ
on
is here. Don't. Yeah. I'll get back in the freaking training this week.
Yeah. See you around Christmas. Let's go.
Yeah. Be back. But it was a great time. It was good to watch a sporting event in person. I ate a shit ton of popcorn.
What was the venue?
Terrible.
It was like a high school gymnasium where we were just drinking beers on the basketball court.
Yeah. Unreal.
Yeah.
And Derry, New
Hampshire. We had like America. We had like 3 feet social distancing, not even six.
Hey, at least you tried, you know?
They tried.
Had to wear a mask somewhat. But yeah, being at a live sporting event was like pretty impressive. Like, New Hampshire is just
give a fuck.
I know knows, but like it's just a whole different breed up here in terms of the COVID-19 restrictions and everything like that.
It is still weird to me how they'll make you wait. And walking in the line, wear the mask. Once you're sitting and you're still very close to everyone, mask can be off.
Makes I'm no tempted sense, to go to a movie theater this weekend.
Yeah, let's
I
go.
I want to see Tenet so bad. I want to see that so bad. And I might have to let
it. Is there a Marvel movie out?
New Mutants or something?
It's not like a.
It might be all right.
I'm pretty sure it has like awful reviews, but
it's
a movie's a movie right now.
Yeah, it's Arya Stark's in there.
Yeah,
right?
She's in it. Yeah, and the chick from like Split.
Also, another. I'll take this as my Magic Mike minute here. Shout out to Thomas Big Pickle Paluzzi.
Future porn star.
Homeless guy with the piece.
Finally made some money, big money this week. $5 scratch, a guy hit for 10 grand.
10 grand. 10 1,000 numbers.
Is that
worth
a clap?
Nuts.
Can we clap?
Yeah, we can clap for that. I haven't seen a guy that. What did you say, Shlomo? That's a Quincy Point. That's a Quincy Point dream. That's what Shlomo, our producer, said.
No, you didn't.
I think we clapped for the 60K.
What do you think he's going to buy with it? That's what I'm interested to know. He said he's going to buy a car and some stocks. Thinking of Tommy Big Pickle and the stock market is like thinking of me and Anton.
He sometimes like sends me stock easy. Tips. Like, I swear to God, I think the first one he ever gave me was Wendy's. I was like, I'm not putting it in Wendy's. No offense, Pickle, but just.
And another shout out I wanted to give is, slowly but surely, the Irish Pub softball team grabbed a game one victory last night in semifinals.
Yes, we did.
I mean, the team sucked. Poor performance, but got the job done.
I think three at-bats I didn't hit past the pitcher.
I expect a lot more in game two. Just shout out to everyone. Magic Mike, tell him. Tell him what happened last night.
I went up to the plate with a cigarette in hand. I mean, in mouth. Let it rip while I batted and hit a nice line drive.
You did?
Everyone was loving it. The other team even said that was pretty cool, man. I don't know why. I don't know why they said that was so cool.
That words?
It feels cool. For anyone who plays softball, get up there. Don't care about what the ump's going to say. Don't care what the other team's going to say. Because when you walk up with that cigarette, they're like, fuck.
Play your
this
game.
This guy doesn't
play
give a
your
shit.
Game.
Like, he might get thrown out right now. It's very disrespectful.
Yeah, you think this guy's going too?
And then you hit a nice line drive and you run down that first base line.
This is an automatic single.
With the cig in.
The cig flip and the bat flip. Just
highly recommend
it.
A home run would have been beautiful if you just flicked the cigarette after the bat.
That'll be the day. The day I hit a home run, Period. I hope I'm cigarette there. Or no cigarette, that's going to be a fucking cool day.
I think you should just call it quits after that. Just retire.
Walk off. Run out of the stadium. Yeah, walk off. Like, walk.
Oh, I don't have Faxon, like, hitting it out of Faxon power, but if I ever somehow get it out of there,
it's a prayer.
I'm done. I might not even run the bases.
Put it on home plate.
I'm leaving. I swear to God, I'm not playing another inning.
If we're on the softball topic, also want to shout out Malachy's. I won my first softball championship. They were nice enough to have me on the team. I didn't get much playing time this playoff season, but I was there in spirit. Celebration was awesome. Held the trophy.
Wait, you
congrats to Malachy's. I played. I'm on the team.
Did you touch the trophy?
I touched it. I bought the champagne. I'm a hype man, if anything.
What position did you play? What position did you play?
I played catcher in the series before, and I did bat in the series before the championship.
Did you play in the championship?
I didn't, but that's like saying a guy's not on the team in the championship. I was the 11th man. If someone got hurt, I was going to have to play.
But they did.
True Brian Skelton.
We have a really we have a really good team. I would challenge.
Adam Morrison has 2 rings, boys. It's okay.
Can we announce? Can we also announce our softball tournament now? Start pre-shouting it.
You'll play? You'll sit on the bench.
Anton's really chapping my ass here. The boys are gonna. We're attempting to get a softball tournament going. I would say that's like 95%.
I'd say 95 at least, four to eight teams, whatever we can scrap out.
96.
So Malachy's, if you're listening, get in that tourney.
Trying to do it around Columbus Day weekend, something like that. You know, Faxon Park, really get the boys going.
PD's welcome.
Mass Music Radio. I hope they'll be out there. Hope they get their own team.
Of course.
Maybe we'll all be on the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
As many guys can play who want to play softball on another level, there will be trophies involved. We have maybe more prizes, T-shirts, strippers. Yeah. I don't
more
fucking
come.
Know.
More to come. More to come.
We'll see what
it's
happens.
It's honestly like what do you think stripper percentage is, 50?
If I'm involved with the running of the tournament, there's a chance.
Bring the sauna bus up there, you know?
They'll be serving the Domino's pizza.
Yeah. We couldn't fall out on good pizza because we bought Lucky Shamrock C-grade strippers.
C's a stretch, buddy. Folks, I wanted to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank Chris Smitty Smith for coming on the pod, MassLive.com's Red Sox reporter. We're going to have merch. It's coming. Steel and Naz merch with the new logo and everything.
And get back to neutral merch.
Back to neutral merch.
Oh, we could do that too. After.
But, also look out, like I mentioned at the beginning, the NFL survival pool. I think, that will be trying to win some money. There you go.
Grow up and play, boys.
Yeah, we hope to get that. Yeah, we've got that going.
We'll keep promoting that on our social media up until September 10th.
Yeah, so get ready, guys. A lot of stuff coming around with the fall season, you know. All this COVID stuff's here, but you know what? The boys are still buzzing. Not really, though.
Cut that.
That's all from Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pirate Podcast. Be safe out there, guys.
Yeah. Love you. Let me go, boys.